The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of thing.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Fine gentleman, don't you think?
The Omega.
Don't dare impugn me on that boy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
No one. There's no one. Distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed. Lovely singing voice, though. Unique.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man you can always trust to be dishonest.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is Lance Storm, and if I could be serious for a minute.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
You're supposed to be dead!
Yes, this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am not TJ Omega. He'll be here in just a few minutes. I'm Sir Rockin. Joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, what a pay-per-view. It was all over the place, and by all over the place, I mean my emotions.
It was very emotional. There were some strange moments. You had a lot of handcuffs.
Yeah.
In strange places.
That was great.
And much, much more. Hey, I mentioned TJ Omega would be here. It's later.
Is it? Is it later?
He's here.
Oh, thank God.
He made it.
He wouldn't make it.
He made it.
We did it, guys.
We did it. And insert old joke here, Tim Stein.
That was either a shot at me or it was a shot at me.
I don't know. Omega usually has a joke for you.
Yowie wowie!
Red Pro 900, thanks for the follow.
I don't think I'm going to tell an old joke.
I know I meant an old joke about you. That's sort of the gimmick.
That was the other one. Yeah, there you go. Joke about being old?
There you go.
Yeah. That would be choice option number C. No, forget it. Never gonna happen.
I mean, you are getting older, so
you walk right over me.
I am. I'm gonna walk right over you like you walk over me all the time.
Well, you deserved it. I don't. Now shut up and listen. Do you smell something?
No.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Clash of Champions Gold Rush Edition, or whatever the hell it was, of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday Night, streaming live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this evening. However you're listening, we're going to review the pay-per-view, and then once they're available, give you the results of WTR's Pick'em. But before we get underway, we do have to let people know there are a couple of matches on the card scheduled that, well, they didn't take place, Rock.
Yeah, the two women's matches, the women's tag team title match and the SmackDown women's title match, did not take place on the show due to reasons.
2020.
Yeah. Due to reasons beyond their control. People were not medically cleared. Yeah.
Not medically cleared certain individuals.
So hopefully everything's fine and it was just precautions.
Fingers crossed.
Because there's been outbreaks in multiple companies. Wear a mask, people. Wear a mask, and maybe just not do indie events in Florida.
There you go. Yeah, and let's just not dwell on it. Let's just get into what actually happened. Now, unfortunately, I got myself a little bit too comfortable on the couch when the pre-show started, and I wound up dozing off.
Insert old joke here.
There you go.
You're learning.
But was
it slowly?
Slowly, he's learning. He's
but there you go.
Up.
Yeah, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defending their titles against the Lucha House Party.
The best way to describe what happened, they attempted to do a solid job at making you believe the Lucha House Party had a chance. Because before the match, the champions were already celebrating. They had pop champagne, you know, in their champions lounge. So like they were being very cocky about this matchup, and by the end there were some false finishes, and as you could think, maybe they have a chance. But in reality, they didn't.
It's the Lucha House Party. That's it. Like that's
what I'm saying. They made you believe for a moment they could win, but in reality, they weren't going to win. I will say I do like the finish, but they just needed time and better with the giant swing and the Kinshasa.
Yeah.
It just needs to be timed better.
They'll get there.
They'll get there. That's where house shows would play a factor, where they could just work on it repeatedly. But anyway, Cesaro and Nakamura retained.
Well, why don't they just practice at the Performance Center?
Well,
for the same reason they can't practice a live event. maybe they should steal the Lucha House Party's pinata and practice with that.
And maybe a reason why there are multiple women's matches not on the show.
They have the whole Thunderdome to themselves. Just go there one day when they're not filming and just swing like a mannequin around for an hour. A mannequin full of candy.
You just want candy right now, don't you?
Who doesn't want candy right now?
I don't.
I want candy.
Don't
insert
sing.
Insert old joke here.
Please don't sing.
You missed it.
What? You're singing an old song. How could I miss the insert old joke here?
Because the song was no joke.
But the song is old. Like you.
Hey. Don't make me do something.
How old were you when that song came out, Tim?
I was just a little kid.
Yeah, but the rest of us weren't alive yet, so...
It's not my fault you're late to the party. You missed the best part of the century.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that.
The 80s were awesome.
Hey, I was alive in the 80s.
Oh, were you now? So was that song. Jeez, you're old.
Let's move to the main show, shall we?
Please.
Hold on, we have a question from the chat. Hey, Tim. What were the dinosaurs like?
I wouldn't know.
I mean, it wasn't that bad of a sitcom. It was just really, really gimmicky and doesn't age well.
Not the mama.
The last episode is horribly depressing.
So the main show.
Okay, so we've established Omega knows dinosaurs better than I do.
So how old is Omega really?
The world may never know.
He's like Glenn Quagmire. He's actually 75. Yeah, that's right. I watch Family Guy. Okay, main pay-per-view time, Rock.
What was the first match, Tim?
What was the first match?
The ladder match.
It was the ladder match.
Oh, boy.
Triple threat ladder match. We see a bit of a story playing out here. Sami Zayn having returned from hiatus, claiming to be the Intercontinental Champion, because technically he's kind of correct. Never did lose the belt when he buggered off for a little while because of reasons. Defending was Matt Hardy.
No.
Also Jeff contending.
Matt.
Not Matt, Jeff. Quit saying Matt Hardy. It was Jeff Hardy. Jeff Harvey. I said Hardy. I didn't say Harvey. But now you know the rest of the story.
You told it so well, Tim.
Wait a minute, that's Doug Harvey. I don't know. Anyway, also contending AJ Styles. Fun ladder match.
Creative ladder match. Also, a stupid ladder match. Jeff Hardy? Jeff, I know you've been in 1,000 of them. Maybe.
Quit doing dumb shit.
Maybe. Don't go ribs first into the part of the ladder that could just poke your ribs.
Don't go ribs first into the ribs of the ladder.
He went into the bracketing. That was so dumb. And look, you could tell it really hurt him.
I couldn't tell if he buggered up his ribs or his wrist.
Probably both.
Because it was dumb.
And like, you know, many other parts of his body.
And then what was the thing? Oh, he was sliding down the ladder and
upside
then
upside down.
Upside yep. down and then trying to
Sami Zayn was trying to push the ladder, into the, corner turnbuckle and, Jeff Hardy's actually, crawling, climbing. You can't really say down, but it would be in the direction of down on the other side of the ladder.
Along the ladder from what would be the top to the bottom.
That works.
And then we have the normal Jeff Hardy big dive spot where he gave himself no room for error.
Oh God, that was tight.
That Swanton bomb off the top of that big ladder. Whew.
Yeah.
he had no room for error on that one, but it was well done. I mean,
at this point, if anyone is going to be good at that spot,
it better be.
It would be Brother Nero.
One. Question. Did anybody catch Sammy actually repositioning himself on the ladder right before Jeff hit?
Yes. Yeah, I saw him scoot down just a little bit more.
I yep. didn't. I was busy watching to make sure that Jeff didn't slip and die.
I mean, that's a natural reaction to Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
and then...
Like, don't slip and die, man.
And then we got weird.
It's an understatement.
We had handcuffs put into ears.
This was new.
I've never seen handcuffs used through someone before.
Yeah, it was weird. Cause I don't know, I guess Jeff likes it cause it's a thing that's happened to him before where
body horror thing, like.
Yeah. So he got handcuffed through whatever the earlobe thing
is called. The hole in his earlobe.
Yeah, there's a name for it. I forget what it is.
Stupid.
stupid.
Big asshole in his earlobe.
Yeah.
That's the name for it.
That.
It's like a jump rope with my earlobe when I'm 80.
To a ladder.
The only thing I could think of was, shit, Jeff, don't stumble.
Yeah. And he was so careful.
Yeah. yeah.
Thankfully, they gave him the small ladder that he could actually hold.
Yep. I do like that there were just tiny ladders in this match. I don't know why. I don't know why they put them in because they got no hope of reaching the belt, but it's fun to watch AJ lawn dart them at people.
Oh, that one hurt Sammy.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, eh?
Just a lot of bit.
And then Sammy was handcuffing AJ and was attempting to handcuff him to the rope. That didn't work. Then they got handcuffed together. AJ was mad about it because, you know, he now has to drag Sammy up the ladder. Jeff then came in with his ladder and start, I guess, fighting? It seemed like. It's weird.
Wasn't he trying to swing the ladder on the two of them?
Something like
without,
that. Something
without
like that.
Letting go?
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird.
Very strange. But then Sammy basically regurgitates the key to the handcuffs. He had it hidden under his tongue that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first off, kudos and props to Sami Zayn for not accidentally swallowing the damn thing.
Yeah.
Through all the bumps.
I presume he snuck it into his mouth before this all began. I don't think he actually walked out of the match for the match with it hidden in his cheek or under his tongue somewhere.
Way to ruin the magic. I'm a believer.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's still real to him, damn it.
It's still real to me. Don't ruin the thing.
Christ, it was 2005, 15 years ago that guy did that.
Anyway, so he unhooks his handcuff and then handcuffed AJ to the ladder. And Sammy wins. Weird.
Amazing finish to the match. And I don't care what anybody says. There are a lot of people on Twitter bitching and complaining that Sammy won, legit, but it was great booking and it was great storytelling.
Technically, there's nothing legit about this.
Well,
technically, because he handcuffed both of his opponents to ladders before he went up.
Yeah, but I mean, it's legal, so.
I mean, it's completely legal and it shows that, okay, on a wrestling prowess, yes, Sami Zayn is as good as the two people in that ring, but that's not what they're portraying right now. They're portraying him as slimy and schemy but intelligent as hell. He went in with a plan, and it all worked.
It did.
Which makes him way more interesting than your typical heel in WWE.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm excited to hear the gloating. So excited.
I want him. I so want him to just keep walking around with both belts just to rub it in.
Absolutely. I think he should.
Well, when we played Pick'em last week and previewed this match, we all agreed that this is what we wanted. So starting tomorrow night, Sammy's got to come out with
Friday.
Both belts, one on each shoulder.
Friday
night, sorry.
For now.
That's what I meant.
Draft isn't draft.
For now. Wait for the draft. That's only a few weeks away, isn't it?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a really good ladder match with a really creative finish that we've never seen before, which is something, which means that's twice this year we've seen finishes to ladder matches we weren't expecting like that. So good on them.
Well, you know, it's good that they keep coming up with nice little twists because you figure they've got to have run out of ideas. I mean, we've seen handcuffs in wrestling shows before. Hell, we've seen duct tape in wrestling shows. But yeah, it's the first time they've used handcuffs in a ladder match.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Sami Zayn is the undisputed Intercontinental Champion.
Most impressive.
What's next?
What is the next match, Rock?
That's why I was calling on you, Tim.
You don't have a
I don't have match I don't have notes. I'll go off the top of my head. So go, Tim.
I don't know what I can't remember what the second match was.
Zelina Vega versus Asuka.
Someone's prepared.
That was match number two.
They tried to make it believable with her.
They're trying,
but they made it believable as a we gave her one match to build her as a contender.
That was her first win all year.
Asuka did a good job getting her to look good.
It's Asuka, you expect that. But like I said it before the match, it's lamb to a slaughter. Is it someone who's barely ever wrestled, at least as far as the WWE is concerned. And you're going to put him in there with Asuka? Do you want to broadcast a snuff film? What is wrong with you?
A snuff film. You had to compare it to a snuff film.
I already said lambs to a slaughter. It's just different terminology, really.
All right. Yeah, you got a point.
Still, like, there was, you know, this is again with like the Lucha House Party thing where you can't just throw me a number one contender who has absolutely no credibility or reason for being in that match.
No.
She went and slapped Asuka. Big deal.
Yeah, if only it were that easy to get championship matches for everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, why even bother with number one contendership? Just go slap the champion.
It's like the one time I got a championship match and I hadn't won in like 4 years. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Did you figure it out?
Well, I mean, I know why, it still didn't make any sense.
Anyway, for the match, I don't know what else we could add to it. I mean, Asuka made Zelina look believable as a contender. But then again, it's Asuka, like you said, Omega.
Yeah, I mean, the match itself was decent, but it's hard to believe for a minute that the title was going to change hands. Regardless of how good it looked.
Don't think anybody would have expected Vega to beat Asuka. So post-match, Zelina feigned showing respect to Asuka. And Keishi, in Skype chat, you made me chuckle.
Of course, because I referenced old movie from 1984.
Karate Kid, which is funny because I watched that. It was on today.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was on Sci-Fi. Just priceless.
Well, that's what you get if you you know, lower your eyes to the enemy.
Always look high.
Yep, always.
Oh, wait a minute. I better let you say that so I don't get in trouble.
Oh, no. I mean, that just goes across the board. You never, you know, if you're referencing the Karate Kid, it's look high. Always look high. If you're referencing 1991's Ninja Turtle movie, it's never lower your eyes to the enemy.
Yep. But, so Zelina attacks, Asuka. Apparently this is not over yet.
No, as we learned tonight, feuds have to last a minimum 5 months now.
Oh, hopefully not.
Oops.
You never know, Zelina might present some kind of threat 5 months from now, you know, when Asuka's, you know, crippled three of her limbs.
Eventually it might happen.
It's like the Monty Python Black Knight. It's just like the more damage he just gets, gets more indignant.
Kneecaps off! It's not like flesh wound. I've had worse. Oh, shit. Meanwhile, my computer's freezing up and I'm having problems here.
Awesome, that's fantastic. Our next contest is for the United States Championship, Bobby Lashley taking on Apollo Crews.
Speaking of feuds that go on forever.
I have a stat. Hold on. Need to find it. There's a stat about this match. Hold on. Scrolling.
It's going to make me roll my eyes.
Yes, it's going to. You're going to roll your eyes about it. It was
start now. Get momentum.
This will be Apollo Crews' 13th straight match against a member of the Hurt Business. He only faced the Hurt Business since June 15th.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Now, is that counting when they officially became the Hurt Business or just like...
I would think whenever he started.
Because he was feuding with Lashley before that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. I would assume that's all encompassed of everything.
Oh, God, that hurts my head.
I mean, at least the Hurt Business isn't one person.
Like, the thing is, it's like WWE, like, we've got all our African-Americans just in one stable except for one, and we're gonna just have him feud with the rest. And this wasn't supposed to be Nation of Domination 2.0, and yet we're casting Apollo Crews as Ahmed Johnson.
What's Ricochet?
God, you're expecting me to remember that. I don't have a parallel there. I don't think
there is one.
Can Ricochet rap?
Oh God, no.
Okay, then he wouldn't be PG-13. Okay. Just trying to cover all the bases. Anyway, they had a match we've seen many, many a time.
Yes, in fact, I'm not convinced it was a new match. They might have just rerun one of the others and I wouldn't have noticed.
Lashley retained. Oh, I have a question for the panel. Mm. Hurt Business. Heels or faces?
I've no clue anymore because they don't know what to do. Because anytime you involve Retribution, everything gets stupid.
But no, they're being paid to fight Retribution. So the whole idea is we're supposed to think that because they're accepting money to wrestle other bad guys, that they're still bad guys.
Meanwhile, WWE is now paying Retribution because that's what you do to the people who have been vandalizing your property for the last few months.
T-Bar.
Yes, because it was quote unquote best for business for them to hire them as opposed to, I don't know, calling the police.
Yeah.
So what are their names? T-Bar, Mace.
T-Bar, Mace, Slapjack.
Retaliation and there's one other one.
Retribution? No, what's?
It's Retaliation and something.
Yeah, something else. It's stupid.
They're terrible names.
No, it's like cliche 90s biker names.
No, that's 8-Ball Slash and whatever Crush was.
Chains.
No, Crush was
Nails.
Crush.
Nails.
There was Chains, 8-Ball.
Skull.
And, yeah, Skull and 8-Ball, Chains and Crush.
My God.
Yeah.
But Chains was with a Z, guys. It was with a Z. Oh, sorry, it was with a Z. Don't live in Canada.
The DOA.
Yes.
Slapjack. How the fuck am I supposed to take you seriously when you're called Slapjack?
The main event of WrestleMania in one corner, it's Roman Reigns against Slapjack. Yeah. T-Bar versus John Cena.
So fucking stupid. What
do they think T-Bar is that makes it scary?
Threatening, yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what a T-Bar is. In my time and been drugged by one. It's a really shitty way to get up a ski hill.
But you might fall off the T-bar, and that's very scary.
Well, the thing is, you don't fall out. It's basically a tow rope that pulls you up the hill as opposed to sitting on a chair. And if you fall and you're still attached, you're just going to get drugged. It's funny to watch people fall off the T-bar, but it is not intimidating or scary in any way.
The T-bar is what you name, like, the golf club's on-site little bar. That's it.
Also, it's Reckoning is the other one. Reckoning. Yeah. Thanks, Brent. Terrible names.
WWE can take the slightest thing that might be interesting and find the perfect way to completely run it into the ground.
Speaking of, our next contest for the Raw Tag Team titles is Street Profits taking on Andrade and Angel Garza. A match we've seen since match happened first time at WrestleMania.
How many times have they fought now?
Enough.
Since WrestleMania?
Enough. They might be the only two tag teams on Raw now.
I mean, except for the Hurt Business, I guess they count.
Do they though?
Yeah, I mean, Retribution, I guess, could be technically a tag team now, too.
Yeah, they have contracts.
Yeah.
They have contracts and not police records.
Are we sure they don't have police records? Have you actually looked into them?
They might.
Well, not recent ones.
God.
Again, are you sure?
You know the guy who's just kept, like, he kept going to the performance center and just, like, being a complete ass at the front door?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just, like, literally, like, spraying his own, like, milk in his own shit on the walls while writing letters about wanting to do the Divas' hairs. And by this logic, he should be a WWE champion by now.
Maybe he already is.
Maybe he is Slapjack.
Anyway, this matchup was pretty good until the ending, and, well, we now know why the ending happened the way it did. There was a moment in the match where Garza apparently tweaked his knee over quad or something.
Yeah, he did a running knee spot and apparently blew something in that leg.
Yeah, and then there was an awkward moment where Andrade's like, tag, tag, can I have the tag? Tag, tag. Okay, eventually they got the tag, and then he hobbled out of the ring.
Yeah, Garza was kind of hobbling over the corner with one leg up.
Yeah, which was not a good sign. And then Dawkins hits his sky-high slam. 1, 2, 3. Wait, what? 2? What?
1, 2, kick out, 3.
What they did on air was they played the crowd noise. 1, 2, 3. So you heard it to make it seem like it was a 3, even though it wasn't.
Andrade very clearly got his shoulder up.
Yeah. And then they did 5 replays showing. Yeah. Yeah. He did in fact get his shoulder up. But that's okay.
Tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
We probably won't see this match. Because Garza's hurt.
That's true, but Andrade might bring in a new tag team partner.
They already sent Austin Theory back down.
A new tag team partner.
How many more cousins does he have?
Humberto is tagging with Dominic.
A new tag team partner.
They already fired Sincara, so.
I just want to see Humberto and Dominic backstage just kind of hanging out, and Andrade just kind of comes up and goes, all right, guys, I've kind of had trouble with partners lately. Can I just hang out with you? It's like, that's his face turn. It's like, I'm lonely.
So, yeah.
If you are Andrade, you are the kind of the kiss of death right now.
I mean,
the unintentional kiss of death.
Woo. Yeah, that's the only one who's sticking around him. Anyway, earlier in the evening, we missed one thing. Drew Gulak won the 24/7 championship. He was then being interviewed about winning said championship and then lost said championship.
Unsurprisingly.
That was something.
I don't even call it a championship anymore. It's just R-Truth's gimmick at this point.
Also, RIP Tozawa.
Yeah, confirmed. Eaten by sharks.
I mean, yeah. Sorry, Tozawa.
Well,
so,
I mean, don't forget the ref was there too, man.
But I think the ref would survive.
I know they're just supposed to stay in the background and
oh, they're
not
just
really
supposed
be seen,
to.
But, oh.
The SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, who does not have an opponent, came to the ring gloating and offered up a open challenge. And then quickly closed the open challenge and wanted her hand raised. Then Asuka came in. They fought, then we had a chair and it ended in like 4 minutes. Bayley was so happy with what she did. She took out Asuka with the chair. She got to scream at Michael Cole. She was happy.
And then,
Neil Bayley is delightfully evil.
Oh, it's great.
Say my name, Michael.
Heel Bailey is my favorite Bailey.
Oh, it's...
Neither Ash. He is not fired or furloughed. He's probably just going to get repackaged back to regular Tozawa.
Non-ninja Tozawa.
Dang.
Slightly less racist Tozawa.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Then, neck brace and all, Sasha Banks returns. Wax Bailey with a chair. Had a kendo stick. Started beating on her with it. Tried to attack her some more with a chair, but Bayley rolled out.
She got really close with that throw.
She did.
I almost thought she caught her.
I'm not the biggest fan of Sasha being Banks being back already, but here we are.
I mean, last minute decisions are and changes what they
no,
are.
No, like, no, this is right on point because she was back 2 weeks ago doing the interview thing.
Okay, yeah, that's, she, yeah, that's actually true.
She should have been gone till January, like, legitimately gone till January.
Well, I mean, at least they didn't do the whole, like, she came back and ripped off the neck brace. Like, I'm not actually hurt, so they could still theoretically keep her out of the ring until a better time.
They're going to the cell probably in 3 weeks.
Dare to dream. Fucking dare to dream.
Oh, I know. I want him. This should be your WrestleMania main event.
Yeah.
I mean, it really should.
Legitimately, this is your WrestleMania main event, flat out. But, it's not to be, sadly. But what can you do? Anyway, as mentioned, the WWE draft is coming.
Yay.
Cause that has such significance right now.
Gonna ask you right now, putting you on the spot, who's the biggest name drafted to Raw? Omega.
The biggest name drafted to Raw?
To Raw.
AJ Styles. Get me away from Paul Heyman again.
Alright, Casey, who's the biggest name drafted to SmackDown?
The Big Show. He's the biggest name.
Is he?
Well, I mean, he's the biggest.
It's only ten letters. I don't know.
Legitimately, he's probably not the biggest anymore. Have you seen Dabakato? He's really
big. Dabakato's pretty big.
But he's underground.
Shane McMahon's bodyguard is a monster.
Count. He's underground.
But he came out of the underground. He got into the actual ring on Monday.
Yeah. And then they pushed him back underground when Braun Strowman punched him with plastic hands.
Christ, he should never have been brought out. Like, that completely killed
whatever
build. Like, that could have been just, like, the monster who didn't care about wrestling matches. He just came to Underground to beat people up, and no one could touch him. He just should have been just, like, you know, like the king overseeing his domain. And no.
Maybe they'll move Orton to SmackDown.
I mean, they kind of did just write off his program with
Yeah, that ambulance will drive all the way around the building until... Next Friday.
Speaking of, ambulance match time, Randy and Drew, featuring multiple legends.
So many legends.
And guest appearance by...
Star of the former Netflix series, The Big Show Show. It's The Big Show.
I enjoyed that show, and this show.
So we had The Big Show attack him, and then just disappear. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna put you through the table. Alright, I'm done. I'm gone. Then Drew and Randy fight again, they're fighting some more, they fight backstage, and Randy gets advantage, and hey, it's Christian!
And then he just leaves.
Catering setup. Yeah, and then he just leaves.
Like, this whole match played out like a game of Marvel versus Capcom, where every time you're losing, you call in your tag buddy to come get a cheap shot in, just so you have time to recover.
Except Randy Orton had no tag team buddies.
No, he's the shithead player who thinks he can get away with just beating you solo.
And then, Randy knocks Drew off the ambulance, and he's all Randy-like, and he's up on the top of it, and you're just waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, it's Shawn Michaels. Super kick and a push.
At this point in time, there's only two more names you want to see show up.
What's that voice? What was that? A voice? Am I hearing voices in my head?
Pizza.
Anyway.
You have a craving for pizza.
No, I'm fasting. No, I don't.
You're what?
It's the Jewish holiday. I'm fasting.
Oh, well, I wouldn't know. I'm not Jewish. Sorry.
Anyway, Sean super kicked him off. And then Randy, you know, gets thrown in the back of the ambulance, and Drew's like, all right, I'm not done yet. Gonna drag him out. Put him on his head. Now it's time to put him in the ambulance. Drew wins with help from his friends. So you're...
Yeah, but did he?
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that this match made Drew look weak because he needed help. I don't see it that way. It's all of these legends coming back and getting revenge on Randy in a no DQ match.
Some would say friendship is, you know, the real strength here, Tim. No, this is literally Randy just getting his comeuppance. If he hadn't been such an absolute cock, then he probably would not have had, you know, everyone running up and taking their cheap shots.
Hey, Kerma's a bitch.
And they foreshadowed it on Monday where Randy was talking about all the people he's injured. It all made sense.
Yep.
And also protected Randy going, it took this guy and this guy and this guy to beat me. Grr arg.
So that this feud can also continue for another
6 months.
Or maybe into the cell. Because Raw needs a cell.
I mean, that's the perfect setup for the cell.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? A whole bunch of people just ganged up on you during one match. It's like, this isn't fair. Put me in a cage.
Put me in
keep the bad men out.
Put me in the demonic red cell. And then the lights on the ambulance turn on. But who's driving the ambulance?
Woo!
Nature boy.
Everyone was expecting him to blow Randy at some point.
I was expecting that.
But it was not to be. He just drove the ambulance. When was the last time you think Ric Flair was driving places?
I mean, theoretically, wouldn't it be never since he's a limousine riding, jet flying?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for going there.
So like, this could be Ric Flair's first foray behind the wheel of a car.
Now we get to
which could explain why it like took so long for the ambulance to drive away.
Yeah.
Which button is the go button?
And then we had your main event, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the Universal Championship. Fangirls, you know, all around the world went crazy for shirtless Roman.
You know, they say in WWE anything can happen, and tonight that was absolutely proven because the WWE presented something interesting.
This match went way too long.
Well, it stopped being a match, and it just became a promo segment. It just became a storytelling segment.
That went on way too long.
Well, it I was mean, way too
Jimmy
long.
Can only walk. Jimmy Uso can only walk so fast, guys.
Yeah, I know. Torn ACL and everything.
Yeah, that's so. It literally was just like that's the time it took for him to get from wherever he was to the ring with that, and he had to find a towel in between.
Yes, because in the WWE locker room there are no towels to be found.
Like that stuff takes time. Give him a break. Otherwise that towel would have been thrown in probably like 10 minutes earlier. If Jimmy could walk normally or even run.
It should have been thrown in like 10, 15 minutes earlier because Roman should have just beat his ass and been done with it. And I know they were trying to, you know, tell the story then, which was good storytelling at the end, but it would have been so much better with a bigger beating, a faster beating.
The match was 10 minutes too long.
At least 10 minutes too long.
Easily. And, with Jimmy out there with the towel, in the back of my head, the first 40 minutes of Rocky IV is superimposed over that whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't mind how long it went on, just because it gave time for Roman to do his new heel character thing, which I found fantastic.
Yep. I'm in that boat. I'm for this heel Roman.
It took way too long for them to turn him.
No, it didn't. Well.
Yeah, the match or overall.
In the grand scheme of WWE, yes. Because he was hitting that John Cena point of, for the love of God, do something different.
Yep.
But he should have been taunting at him the entire time, call me the tribal chief.
I mean, he was. Like, he was talking to him throughout the match, and every time, he wasn't growling, he wasn't screaming, he was calm.
And they had the mics turned up so you didn't miss a single word uttered by either one of them.
And even when Jey got some offense in, once Roman was back in control, he's just right back to that calm, very methodical, like, he's gonna pick his shots, he's not gonna go with a flurry of offense. No, he just needs one shot. You know, Jey come up and chop him across the stomach, does nothing. Roman hits him with a right and completely crushes him with it. He came across like a supervillain in this match.
Yeah, it was a very good example of how less was more.
Oh yeah, like at every point it seemed like Roman was completely calm about what was going on, and even when it seemed like he was losing control, he didn't feel like he was out of control.
He was stalking Jey.
It wasn't even that he was stalking Jey. It's as if Jey didn't matter to him.
No.
It's as if Jey posed such little threat he did not have to try.
Super confident that he was going to win.
The entire story of this is it's fantastic. It's really good. The end was absolutely great. It's just... Again, we've mentioned it ad infinitum. They did drag it out longer than it needed to be. It kind of sort of, in my opinion, weakened what they were trying to do a little bit. Somewhat.
I mean, it does help Jey look good for not surrendering. It does make Roman look a little bit more vicious for not giving. Yeah, evil for not, cause he could have just speared him and pinned him at any point.
Yeah, he picked him up once, didn't he?
No, he at one point he was berating the ref too. It was like, are you ready? I'm not ready.
Yeah, but then you go with 23 minutes. It was the longest match.
Are you ready? I am not done yet.
It was the second longest match on the show. It just went, it by the end, it's just like, I get it. It just, I felt very long. But that's my opinion. You guys can like it too, so.
Oh, I mean, you can like the match and still, like, I can like the match and still agree that it could have been 5 to 10 minutes shorter. I mean, absolutely.
It could have been done shorter. I still, that almost feels like an impatience thing to me. Cause, like, I was perfectly fine with how long it went. I didn't hate it. Of course, that's just me.
Kind of like Batman versus Superman. Overall, good movie, but it would have been a lot better if it was 25, 30 minutes shorter.
Okay, you lost me at that being a good movie.
Okay, well, I didn't hate Batman versus Superman.
I didn't
either. All the elements of it being a good movie were in place, were in the movie. It's just way too stretched out and way too much incidental shit in there they didn't need to be in there.
Martha.
Yeah.
It's like all this hatred and animosity goes away because they have the same
mother.
Their mothers had the same name.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
Why did you say Martha? It's my mom. Martha's my mother.
Oh, you're my best friend now.
Let's go kill bad guys. There's one big one.
By the way, I'm Batman. You can tell by this massive gun I'm carrying.
Yeah, that's something that is the one thing in the movie that I did not like. Batman with a gun.
Batman with a wanton need to kill people.
Yeah. Even if it was a dream sequence. Spoiler alert. So overall, how'd you find the pay-per-view, Cash?
I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the matches were fairly predictable as far as who I thought was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I mean, the ladder match was exactly what I wanted it to be. Entertaining as all heck. Aside from the fact that there was some risky business in there. The Roman J match was, I found it very entertaining. More so than I expected it to be. I liked what they were doing with Roman as far as being slow and methodical and like just taking his time to beat the crap out of him, albeit maybe a bit too long, but I mean, it just makes you hate Roman even more. But yeah, I mean, I was entertained. This was definitely not the worst pay-per-view I've ever seen. Not the best, but I mean, I would give it in the upper half of enjoyment for sure.
There you go. Omega.
Aside from the matches we've seen a dozen times already.
Yeah.
I genuinely enjoyed the pay-per-view. Like I got to see all my favorite stuff, you know, like murderous Asuka and heel Bayley. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm stunned to say I was genuinely compelled by the new character for Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exactly what WWE needs right now, which is just an absolute, just not only dominant, but all, you know, villainous heel where I said it in the chat during the show, like he was out bastarding Orton at moments there.
Yeah.
Cause he's battering and bludgeoning his own cousin just cause he wants to hear him say he's the chief. Like it was way more than I expected it to be.
Overall, I was entertained myself by the pay-per-view. We've pointed out our beliefs and what the minor flaws were, but it's rare you get something perfect. Perfection can be kind of boring sometimes anyway, but you know, it was entertaining. It was a good way of finding some entertainment on a Sunday night. And you know, like Casey said, we've seen worse, a lot worse, a hell of a lot worse. But Casey, you said this was predictable.
Moderately predictable. I mean, as far as I remember, most of the matches, the outcomes were what I thought they would be.
Yeah. Well, this is a segue.
Yeah.
To, WTR's Pick'em. How predictable was this pay-per-view? For you, it was, fairly predictable. For Rock, it was kind of predictable. But for me and Omega, it was predictable.
And what of the other people who participated in the pick'em?
It was kind of predictable. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to run down the pick'em results. And as I am wont to do, we're going to start from the bottom and go to the top. Tied in 14th place Rob and the Wheel, 2-5. They were both beaten by the Magic 8 Ball, which went 4-3. Team Chat tied with Sheila, Rock, Linz, in turn, all at 5-2. Casey, you tied with Amy, and Chris P, you all got 6-1.
And Subway.
Oh, Subway. I forgot Subway. Yeah, Subway's there. 6-1. Thanks. Coming in first is a three-way tie. Omega, you and me, you and I tied with Jobber. A perfect 7-0.
The product has been like back and forth between consistent and predictable and completely off the wall because, hey, it's 2020 and it's hard to set anything in stone these days.
This is true. Now, here's the thing that we've always said. If we do really good with Pick'em, that means it's too predictable and something's wrong with pay-per-view in some cases. I didn't find that this time around. Even though we predicted all the matches, it was still entertaining and enjoyable. It's when they get us, when we're positive that we know what's going to happen and we come out not getting a single one right, where we're kind of like, but yeah.
Knowing the outcome does not always, spoil anything.
This is true.
We're to say.
Logical is okay. Logical is better.
Logical is okay if it's performed correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And paying off anticipation the way you want it to be paid off is rewarding.
Yep. So that is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio for Sunday, September 27th, 2020. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Don't leave just yet because we're going to do some plugging. We've got a very, very big announcement about next Sunday night. I'm not going to tell you right now until after we give you all the other plugs, but you'll find out. So stay tuned to find out what we're talking about. It's a bit of a big deal, right, Rock?
I've already said it, so yeah.
Oh, you bastard. I didn't hear you say it.
I said it about a week ago on the show. Anyway.
Oh, that was a week ago on the other show, so don't say anything yet. Because we have listeners who may not have heard it yet. But, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw's Raw Post Show.
11 p.m. Eastern, we'll talk all things that happen on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, you're going to get the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with the multi-time award-winning host, Lindsay Ward. And Lindsay will do her own recap.
We're going to recap Clash of Champions, Gold Rush, and preview NXT TakeOver, which happens next Sunday on the WWE Network.
Yeah, and throughout the week, Rock will get on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. He'll play Fortnite with friends and shit like that. Don't forget the creator code Rockinsock.
Yep. Hashtag Epic Partner. Hey, if you like Rocket League, that's now free to play, and you can use the same creator code there because it's now in the Epic Game Store.
There you go. What are live contender points?
The WTR contender points, they can redeem awards in our chat by just listening.
Isn't that awesome? I have now got 1,120 WTR Live contender points.
Cool.
Is that a lot?
No.
Didn't think so. Oh, well. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the guys that are always in a hurry because last night they were talking Russian. Greater than great debate, it's CB Radio.
We did Russian words. Cyrillic.
Cyrillic.
Whatever. We did that.
That's like saying the Boston Celtics, which would be correct, but that's not the name of the team.
we did that because reasons. We have a better topic this week, we promise. Saturday night, midnight-ish, greatthegreatdebate.com, cbradiolive.com.
There you go. And then next Sunday night, there is going to be a, it's kind of a pay-per-view review for NXT TakeOver. What is it, this one?
Doing the NXT TakeOver 31 recap on the Rack Extra live right after the show, probably 9:30, 10 o'clock. Whenever the TakeOver ends, we'll be live talking about it. You know the deal.
So there it is. The Rack Extra will be preempting WTR Sunday night. Wrestle Talk Radio will be on a one-week hiatus.
Shocker.
I know it's shocking and something very unusual for everybody, but Don't worry, there is live programming next Sunday night immediately following NXT TakeOver.
And it's okay, because Tim would probably be hungover. It's his birthday coming up. He's turning 90.
Shut up, I'm not turning 90, and don't tell everybody it's my 35th birthday on Saturday.
Like your 35th birthday?
Something like that. Wait a minute, it's the 20th anniversary of my 35th birthday. Freedom! And that's the only hint I'm giving you.
Hat.
Shut up.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night, Twitter.com/WTR Sunday Night. Tim, you've 17 Twitters, go.
I've only got 3 Twitters. Follow me at Plains Forums. You want to talk wrestling, you want to talk sports, you want to get goofy, at Plains Forums. My serious side, controversial side, the no holds barred uncensored side, at Voice Insanity. When I talk about food, because I'm a really good home cook, then I tweet at Man Kitchen TV. But Omega's got me on social media.
You know, I've only got the one Twitter, but yeah, like social media is all over the place. So if you want to follow me, you can find me over on Facebook at TJ Reviews, but everywhere else you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the Twitch channel that I've been much more active on lately. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. For a few more, you can go look at tjomega.net. And just to let you know, I'm finishing a huge mound of editing right now, so the channel is going to be very, very active for the rest of the year.
Casey's on Twitter.
Yeah! I am on Twitter. You can find me at Kyle Driver on Twitter. I tweet things occasionally, less often than anyone else on this show, but I try for the show. Okay. I'll guarantee one tweet a week and go from there.
That's a start. All right. That being said, I think we're done. So, everybody, have yourselves a great week. Enjoy Raw. Enjoy SmackDown. Enjoy all of the live programming we'll bring you. And enjoy the week.
Radio.com.